The claim that Zionism equals racism is not new. It is once again under discussion because of the current violence in the Middle East. NPR's Judy McCarthy reports.
Zionism is the founding movement of the modern Jewish state. Israeli Deputy Foreign Minister Rabbi Michael Melchior says there is no Judaism without Zionism.
There is no prayer, there is no ceremony in Judaism which does not include the aspiration of the return to Zion. In its political form, it is the aspiration of the Jewish people to what we call self-determination.
But the UN defined Zionism as racism in 1975. By a 2-to-1 margin, the General Assembly declared that Zionism was a form of racial discrimination. Washington called the resolution a direct attack on Israel's right to exist. An incensed U.S. Ambassador Daniel Patrick Moynihan denounced the Arab states and the Soviet Union for inspiring it.
People who are responsible are the anti-Semites, the totalitarian dictatorships, and countries close involved in that Middle East thing, who joined together in this shocking thing, this terrible lie. And the United Nations is where it happened.
Defining Israel's founding ideology as racist stained the Jewish state with the same pariah status then as South Africa and Rhodesia. But the UN resolution that had polarized the international body during the Cold War looked out of date in the post-Cold War. Flush from victory in the Persian Gulf, President George Bush told the UN General Assembly in 1991,
"This body cannot claim to seek peace and at the same time challenge Israel's right to exist. By repealing this resolution, unconditionally, the United Nations will enhance its credibility and serve the cause of peace."
The UN overwhelmingly revoked Resolution 3379. 10 years on, though, antipathy over Israel's treatment of the Palestinians in the occupied territories is resurrecting the challenge to Zionism. Syed Hosseini Rezvani represents Iran at the UN in Geneva. In terms reminiscent of the 75 debate, he condemns the Israelis' handling of the West Bank and Gaza.
It all boils down to the fact that they are of the opinion that maybe they are of a different race, and as such, they would entitle themselves to claim sovereignty over the occupied territories. It is quite natural that international community might consider reviving of that decision of the General Assembly.
Egypt's Geneva Ambassador Faiza Abul Naga warns that charges that Israel is pursuing racist policies grow louder with each new Israeli settlement in the occupied territories.
Call it whatever, but it is a situation of racial discrimination, that because you think that you deserve this place and you come and expel those who belong there. Palestinians have been expelled out of their homeland. It is, of course, a manifestation of a feeling of being superior to these people. And that is a form of racism.
The UN Convention to Eliminate Racism defines racial discrimination in part as
any distinction, exclusion, restriction, or preference based on race, color, descent, or national or ethnic origin.
Arab states have proposed text for the Durban Declaration that refers to the racist practices of the occupying power and ethnic cleansing of the Arab population in historic Palestine. The Israeli ambassador to Geneva denies that Israel discriminates. Yaakov Levy says the conflict is political and attempts to describe it otherwise are unworthy.
The conflict is not racially motivated, nor is it based on racial differentiation or discrimination. Even though the Arabs can point out to certain manifestations of difficulties and claim that it's because of any kind of racial discrimination. But that's an issue to be disputed.
According to a new Amnesty International report on racism, Palestinians from the occupied territories have experienced many forms of discrimination since Israel's 1967 takeover of the West Bank and Gaza. Amnesty concludes Palestinians are consistently exposed to excessive use of lethal force when demonstrating. It notes Palestinians are tried in military courts, while Israelis who have settled in the occupied territories are subject to Israeli law, tried in Israeli courts, pay Israeli taxes, and enjoy Israeli benefits. Analysts say the building of settlements undermines Israel's position that the conflict with the Palestinians is a nationalist struggle for self-determination. The University of Maryland's Anwar Sadat professor, Shibli Telhami, says settlers are claiming land in the name of religion.
The claim that is put forth is a religious claim and it's an ethnic claim. And that raises a lot of questions in the minds of people who face that kind of policy. All of that is accelerating the collapse of the nationalist framing of the conflict. And I see that as a real danger.
Israel's law of return is also under attack. It provides automatic Israeli citizenship for Jewish immigrants, whereas Palestinian refugees who were born in what is now Israel are denied the right to return home. But Felice Gare of the Jacob Blaustein Institute for the Advancement of Human Rights says a people who suffered genocide must have the right to extend a welcome to fellow ethnic nationals as other countries do.
Germany has something like that. Liberia's constitution provides that only persons of African descent can become citizens. Ghana's been toying with the idea of adopting a law of return for Afro-Americans. None of these states has been called racist, but Israel has. Now you have to ask yourself why.
Democratic Congressman Tom Lantos, a Holocaust survivor, says discrimination exists in virtually every society, yet he notes it is Israel that is being singled out for criticism in the debate over the agenda for the Durban conference.
Taliban discrimination against women, horrendous discrimination, is nowhere on the agenda. Iranian discrimination against the Baha'i people is not on the agenda. Slavery in the Sudan is not on the agenda. Well, you cannot build a conference against racism and discrimination on racism and discrimination.
As Israel's confrontation with the Palestinians enters its bloodiest chapter in a generation, Washington and Tel Aviv believe Arab states are exploiting the complexities to revive anti-Semitism and anti-Zionism. Iran's Hosseini Rezvani says Islamic and Arab countries are simply on the right side of history, unlike, he says, the U.S.
From our point of view, it is betting on a loser horse or whatever you want to say. We have to address the question in a very fair and square manner. And if we are to address whatever ideology which is based on the superiority, we would have to do it even-handedly.
Analyst Shibli Telhami says he does not believe racism is the heart of the matter, but he says the inequality in the life of Palestinians and Jews is.
Everybody in principle recognizes it to be, quote, a temporary situation. But in fact, it has been the life of the contemporary Palestinian community as we have known it. And how long can it go on? The focus has to be on ending occupation.
Even if the United States were to succeed in limiting anti-Israel rhetoric at Durban, the Arab and Islamic states have made their feelings toward Israel unmistakable in the bitter run-up to the conference against racism. Julie McCarthy, NPR News, Geneva.